Hey guys, it's Damian from Marketing Food Online, and today is a really exciting podcast. I've had a lot of questions about the following content that I'm going to give to you guys today, and it's about California's new bill, the AB 626, which is allowing homes to open their doors almost like restaurants. And we're going to get right to it on Marketing Food Online. All right, guys. Sorry. So I've had a lot of requests and questions and a little bit of confusion mixed in with it as well about what exactly is AB 626 and what does it allow home businesses, home food businesses, food entrepreneurs to really do in their homes, and what can they make and what can't they make, and is it even a law that's actually going to benefit food entrepreneurs? So here is exactly, here's a little bit of a rundown of what it is. It's considered a micro enterprise home kitchen operation. That's kind of a long title for this type of a business, but it's basically a home-based restaurant in a sense. And the state of California has the bill passed. It was initially started in January 1st of this year. It was passed back in September, actually. I believe the date was the 18th, September 18th, 2018, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a lot of people who are looking towards this as what they may call kind of a new endeavor, a new direction for home-based food businesses, giving almost pretty much a green light to open a restaurant in a sense from your home. So what I'm going to do in this podcast, I'm going to cover and go over a handful of bits of information about what it is, and then the gist of some of the drawbacks to it, plus also some of the benefits. And then I'm going to leave a link in the description down below that'll take you to some official website pages that will be a little more descriptive. I don't want to necessarily spend 2 hours talking about that here in the podcast, but I just wanted to answer a few questions that I received from some subscribers and kind of figure out exactly what it is that this bill will allow you to do and what opportunities it opens up the doors for. Okay, so here's the thing. The state of California has started the bill. They've initiated the bill. It goes into effect January 1st, which, of course, we already have passed that date. Now, there's quite a few things that kind of may hold this up from allowing you to partake in the bill. And what I mean by that is it's going to be up to local municipalities to create ordinances that allow this law to go into effect locally, okay? The state can create a bill, okay? But local city and counties have to create ordinances in order for this to be effective where you live specifically, okay? So I know it's a little bit confusing. You're kind of thinking, why in the world would the state of California create a bill and then the cities and counties have to create additional ordinances to allow the bill to be effective? Well, there's some good reasons and bad reasons for them to do this, okay? So you got to understand from the county and city's perspective that there's a lot that goes on to initiating these new laws on a local level, whether it might be a health department inspection. If you've got a community where there's 1,000 new businesses that are selling from their homes, and if they happen to have ordinances that make it effective that the health department and or the Department of Agriculture has to come in and inspect it, you have to understand that they have to hire new inspectors. They got to train them. You know, there's a lot that when they roll out these laws that potentially, I'm not saying that is, but that's just one aspect that the county and city would have to come up with and figure out, you know, who's going to be monitoring this and how do we monitor it. If it is in need of monitoring, they have to have the staff to do it. So here is a handful of items to be aware of, okay? Some of the quote-unquote catches, I guess you can say, the catches to this law. So number one, you need to live in a county or city that creates the ordinance, as I just spoke about, okay? So you have to actually be in that county or city. You have to have your domain, your residency there. So you got to sell directly to customers. Now, this is very similar to cottage food laws, as you may or may not know, creating baked goods and such and bringing them to like a farmer's market. You know, you have to sell directly to your customer and the transaction has to kind of transact between you two. Okay, there can't be somebody in the middle. Like, for instance, you create food and then drop it off at a restaurant and then a customer comes and buys it from the restaurant. There's nothing like that involved. You cannot do that. So you have to be prepared to kind of almost allow people to come to your home and either pick up their food or even literally, you know, eat it there on the premises. Now, I don't know how many people would really be interested in doing that per se, but you can deliver it. You can bring it to the customer directly. But again, you'd have to do that, okay? You'd have to bring that to them. You can't kind of employ one of these delivery services based upon what I have read about the bill, that you cannot do that. It has to be from the producer, you, to the person consuming it. So now, the food that you create on a daily basis has to be sold, and you have to sell that on the same day. That's another criteria. So you can't make a big pot of, let's say, some type of a gumbo or something, right? And you want to keep that in your refrigerator and you're going to be warming it up all week long. That is something that's not allowed. So in other words, you're really going to need to almost advertise, promote, and get yourself out there as far as letting people know where you are and what you're doing, which would also include having a menu. And then when a customer or a person happens to come into your home, or they call and say, can you make this or this, and they want to order something, it has to be made and sold on the same day. So that is going to, I don't want to say that creates a problem, but that does also create a situation where you have to have ingredients, okay? So if you're really going to get into this and you're going to offer a restaurant-styled experience in your home, you need to be aware of having ingredients on hand and having a quantity of those ingredients enough to fill orders if you're going to really do this, okay? And again, keep in mind that the only drawback is, again, is that you'd have to figure out, you got to get your local city or county to create these ordinances. And I don't want to backtrack real quick, but you would almost want to, I don't necessarily say petition them, but you would need to contact them and say, look, you know, I'm interested in the state pass this law. Do you know of anybody? Are we going to get this ordinance passed, or is this something locally that we can begin to do in our city and county? So you might have to knock on some local commissioners' doors, in a sense, and try to see who is in charge of making these ordinances and such, and then bring this idea to them if they're unaware of it. So, okay, so we got the direct sale. So you got to sell directly to your customers. You got to make and sell the product the same day. You got to live in the county. Now, the other thing is that you can make up to annually $50,000 a year. Now, a lot of people may frown upon that, but I'll be honest with you. If you are just starting a restaurant-style business from your home, an additional $50,000 a year in income is not a bad situation. Now, that is gross sales, okay? So whatever you can net, whatever you can profit from that is going to be what you actually put in your pocket. Now, that's going to be dependent upon, obviously, the cost of running your business, and that's a whole other podcast. So I'm not going to get too deep into that. But here's the thing. If you have a passion and desire to open a restaurant someday, let's say 5 years from now, you want to really open a restaurant and your passion is making food, okay? But you don't have any experience doing it. Yeah, you cook every day or you make some stuff on the weekends for your friends and family. That's not running a restaurant. I can tell you firsthand, when I was in high school and through college, I've worked at a restaurant, and it's not like you're making chicken wings on the weekend for your friends. It is a much bigger endeavor. But the reason why I say this is that this gives you a great opportunity to experience the idea of having your own restaurant. So if you don't want to jump into getting a $250,000 or $300,000 loan to open a restaurant, which I would not recommend if you've never done it before, this is actually a great law for people who want to get their feet wet and kind of get a sample, and no pun intended, but kind of get a taste for having their own restaurant, okay? Because if you can run one successfully from your home, there's a pretty good chance that you could probably run one out into, you know, in somewhere in the real world where you're not necessarily in your home, but you've got your own restaurant. So it's a great opportunity to get an experience on how to do it, right? Because you have to have ingredients, you got to have packaging, you have to have a menu. You know, there's a lot to doing this. This is not something where you can open your front door and cross your fingers and hope people know that you're there. So when you want to market your restaurant, you got to figure out how to do that. How do I promote it? How do I create a recipe? How do I create menus? All of this stuff, okay? Now, the other drawback, and this one is really kind of out of all of the restrictions, in my opinion, this is kind of the most restrictive for this new law. And again, this is the California Bill AB 626. So this one is that you can't make no more than 16 meals in a week, okay? So that kind of caps you off at 60 a week. Now, granted, that's 240 meals a month. Now, to be honest with you, if you're doing that many meals, well, then, you know, you might be able to run a successful restaurant. It sounds like something you could definitely do. But you can't produce more than 60 meals, okay? And lastly, the other thing, it cannot be considered a cottage food operation. So this is a totally separate type of business from your home, okay? When you're running a cottage food business, that's preparing things like jams or jellies or things like mustards or condiments, nuts and snacks, and then bringing it to a farmer's market, going to a fair, going to a festival, selling it out of a booth to a customer. That's a totally different business. And I believe from what I've read about this, I've done quite a bit of research about it, the two of them, if I'm not mistaken, cannot be operated at the same address. If you know something other different than that, please do let me know down in the description below, or down in the comments section. But I don't believe you can run both of those things from your home. So now, the other thing is there's a few other where you can sell these and where you can't. So where you can sell them, you can definitely sell them through your home. Now, this would mean that somebody, of course, has to come and pick it up, or you could bring it directly to them. Now, you can also do it online. So if you were to create some type of a website that's interactive where someone can create a menu for you, and you sold products through the internet, like a lunch or something, someone clicked and point and basically purchased a product from you as far as like a meal or something, you can do that, but you still, again, have to deliver it to them, okay, or have them come and pick it up. You have to really honestly be very comfortable with strangers coming to your home and picking up a lunch if that is something that you are okay with. Now, some of the prohibited places that you can't is obviously events, farmers markets, if you do like roadside stands or retail stores can't resell these foods. So if you're making a hamburger, fries, and you're having literally like a lunch menu, you can't sell that product to a retailer. You can't sell that at a farmer's market. That's something that's not allowed. Okay. Now, the other thing is mail order and wholesale. Obviously, if you're making lunches and things, you're not going to sell lunches at a wholesale price. But you also can't ship anything through mail order, like you can't ship a product or ship your food. If you're making a steak and potatoes, obviously you don't ship that. But you can't do that anyway. So, and the other thing was that was interesting is under, if you've got this, if you're taking advantage of this specific law, you cannot operate a catering business from your home in that sense. So you can't prepare a whole bunch of foods from your home and then bring it to an event and say, you know what, I'm utilizing that bill AB626. That's not exactly what the bill is about. You can't do that. So now the types of foods that are allowed, the list is quite extensive. And again, I'll have resources for much more in-depth information. I don't want to take up 2 hours of time here, but I'm going to give you a list, a handful of things that you can do. Breads, cookies and rolls, tortillas and scones, donuts and cakes, pizzelles, sweetbreads and things are allowed. Also, keep in mind, really quick, kind of a side note, keep in mind, the delivery must be made within a certain period of time and what they kind of call a safe period. Because the thing is, when you're creating, you're working with meats and such, or even any type of steak or something to that effect, it's time and temperature sensitive. So you have to be aware of that. So delivery may only be made by you or your employee or a family member of the household. So keep in mind that if you wanted to have an employee, and I believe you're allowed to have one full-time employee, but you can have family members assist you, they have to be someone who lives at the residency, not somebody who just a friend that comes over and wants to do deliveries. So it has to be someone there who can make deliveries as well. Again, there's a lot of stipulations. There's a lot of little things that are part of this law. And it's going to really be up to, hopefully, if you guys are listening to this, you have to kind of petition, in a sense, go to your local county and zoning planning and such departments and, you know, let them know, look, I'm really interested in this law. Can we get something going in our county? So keep that in mind. So let's see. Let's check out the next couple of things that you would have to do. So the great thing is that you can really almost make almost anything with this business as far as the types of foods, you know, but you must prepare and serve it on the same day, like I mentioned before. The law is mostly for people who are operating a food service establishment for meals. So these are really full-blown lunch meals and such that you're making, or dinner, whatever it may be. And that's really the goal, and that's the aim of this bill, okay? I'm just double-checking some of my notes here. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to mention is, of course, the limitation, like I mentioned, about the 30 meals. Now, the type of you cannot have as many employees as you want. Usually the state will have some specific information about how many you can have, how many full-timers or part-timers you may have. So keep that in mind. You can't just bring on a board, 20 people in your house to be cooking meals. That's something that I would highly doubt that amount of people can assist you with. Now, working from home creates a few issues. If you happen to have pets, obviously, animals and pets, dogs, cats, and birds and things, they cannot be in the kitchen, or even I would not even allow them near the kitchen, because you don't want any type of issues with dog hairs or something to that effect coming into food when you're trying to prepare it. So if you do have pets but you're really interested in doing this, you may want to think about some special designated place in your home far enough away from your kitchen that this won't become an issue. Now, so the other thing you want to keep in mind is that once you have one of these restaurants set up at your house, you have to use what's known as your primary residency, okay? So what I mean by that is that this has to be the home that you specifically live in. It can't be 10 or 15 houses down the street with your friend or your buddy where you're just preparing food there and then bringing it to your own home. Obviously, that doesn't make sense, but that's something you can't do. So you want to keep in mind that you have to use what's known as your primary residency. So a few other things that you may want to keep in mind. So the permits, business permits. Now, the business permit in some counties is different than the type of state permit that you want to apply for. When you have each county's health department will have its own permit or process. So you need to be in mind all types of food products you're willing to handle needs to be made aware to them. They need to know what you're making. The different ways that you prepare the food that you'll be using during the food preparation. So basically what it's known as the preparation time. So the time it takes to prepare the products and the procedures you use to make them, you want to basically be aware of that as well. Now, the other thing, that the health departments will probably want to know, and normally this is kind of a normal procedure, is also how are you cleaning and disposing of certain types of equipment? How are you cleaning those pieces of equipment that you're using for your restaurant cooking? They'll need to know about that. How do you plan on during delivery or pickup, once your food is prepared, how are you maintaining that proper food temperature too? So that's something that needs to be spelled out. And more or less, the health departments will want to know basically that you understand the process, okay? So if you've got an understanding of the temperatures of how the food will be kept, because they don't want it to fall below any temperatures where bacteria could potentially form or become something hazardous, they're going to want to know, how are you, hey, Damien, how are you keeping these foods at certain temperatures? You'll need to let them know as well. The other thing is that many of the homes, this is kind of a normal thing also through cottage food business, but I would definitely be sure that this would happen, is that you need to have a home inspection. Normally, the health department will determine if your home meets the requirements for this law. There may be certain types of maybe equipment, maybe there's certain types of how your kitchen's laid out or how it's arranged that may either limit you or hinder the idea, and they could give you some ideas about making improvements to allow this law to be used at your residency, okay? Because not every single scenario or kitchen will get a check off and then, get the thumbs up to do it. There may be a few things that you may have to do, so keep that in mind as well. Now, the other thing is that there are food safety certification exams, and there that's something that as a food business owner, to be honest with you, everybody should have it anyways. And you'll be required to take one of those. And normally those are not very expensive, and they don't take very long to take. But it's basically about letting you know that you have certain ways to handle food. You have certain ways to handle certain things at certain temperatures, cleaning, and that type of thing. And lastly, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover just a few more essential things that you need to know about the facility. Now, normally when you talk like a commercial facility or commercial kitchen has tons of different equipment and a lot of other types of required equipment that must be in place in order for it to be considered a commercial kitchen, you will actually be exempt from those. And many of the other standards that are normally put on commercial kitchens, there's something that won't apply to your residency. But they do have quite a few things that you need to be aware of and that you'll have to follow in order for this to work for you, okay? So some of the basic things, like your food preparation area must be well lit while you're preparing food. Of course, this would be something to make sure that you can see exactly what you're doing. In case something like hair falls into food or something, you're aware of that because of the lighting. Some restaurants display foods. And if you have like a display case, if you've got food sitting in that all day, showing your customer what type of foods are available, which there's some restaurants that do this, you obviously can't sell that specific food to customers. Clothing and personal items not typically found in a kitchen should be replaced from your kitchen. Anything that's got like a hat that could have hair in it and that type of thing. Anyway, some of these are, I'll put some links to the websites where you can read more about these. Some of these things are kind of common sense, but they are definitely rules that make sense in order for you to really make this work in your home. So I'm going to wrap up the podcast. Like I said, I'm just giving you some really super basics about this. I wanted to make sure that some of this information was covered. I had a lot of subscribers asking, and I'll have some really helpful links down below in the description. You can click on those and read more about that. But I think my big takeaway from this is that this is a big step forward in the state of California. I just hope that, of course, counties and cities create ordinances that allow local residents to take advantage of this law, because it would be a great opportunity to create a lot of entrepreneurs, food entrepreneurs that may have never wanted to obviously invest or take a plunge in $200,000, $300,000 and buying a restaurant. Try it out at home. See if it fits. If it's what you want to do, it's going to give you a great opportunity to do that. And I think that's the greatest idea, the biggest takeaway from this entire law. Even though there's restrictions, even though there's a lot of hoops to jump through, this is an opportunity for you to experience owning a restaurant. And if that's your passion, then if it's successful at home, I would highly doubt you would have any failures in the real world by opening a restaurant. I think you'd be really successful because you've got some experience. So with that being said, I hope this was informative. And again, that's the California Law AB 626. And kind of in a nutshell, some really great tips and some information, tidbits of information about how the bill works. And as always, I will see you guys on the next YouTube video or on my next podcast. Do take care.